podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray, Father, that you might help us to hone in on the one priority that really matters. Here as we stand at this place, at this time, Lord, fix in our hearts the importance of knowing your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. So this is it, right? The last day of 2017, the last chance to redeem this year, to make something good out of it in just a few hours. You're limping toward the finish line, maybe, you know, you just about ran out of strength. You're finally going to cross the line. You're stretching out to get to that tape. The ball has dropped. The calendar has changed. You fall into bed. Congratulations, job well done. 2017 is in the books. Aren't you looking forward to that? But what next? What next? Well, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and you're going to start all over again. 2018. Ready or not, here we come. So have you thought a little bit about what your goals might be for the new year? Have you begun that process yet? Maybe you avoid that process at all costs, or maybe, you know, you're just so fed up with eating so much that you've got some goals to shed some of those pounds and get some exercise going on, or maybe your life has gotten so disorganized and your home's gotten so disorganized, you're just ready to put all that Christmas stuff away and get started with a new year, and you want to get some things straightened out and focused. You want to spend some time in your finances and figure out what's going on there, get some things paid and get some debts cleared out of the way and start to save up. Maybe you've got some goals for 2018. Have you begun to think about what you might want to accomplish so that when you stand on this day, 1 year from now, you can look back at 2018 and say, wow, this has been one of the better years of my life? What changes do you think you might like to make? Or maybe you're still just in the review phase. You know, you're still trying to get over 2017. There's just so much that happened in the last year that you just want to sweep it into the past. Well, as we come to the end of the year and the beginning of the next year, let's take a look at this passage of Scripture that is relevant for days like today. I think it is anyway. So walk with me through the passage. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Philippians chapter 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Now, it wasn't that in Philippi they had a bunch of wild dogs running around that they had to look out for, that everybody had to carry milk bones around with them or mace. It wasn't that. Paul is warning the Philippians to avoid the type of people who put their pride in external things, in human accomplishments, in human privileges, to watch out for the type of folks who set up hoops through which they can jump and feel good about themselves. People who set up hoops through which they have already jumped so that they can feel good about themselves. And then they take those same hoops and they move them higher for others to fail so that they'll feel better about themselves. In the Message version, Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage. He says, "Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them." Now, I recognize some of this gets lost in the translation, right? Some of this gets lost in the translation. It's talking about external standards of religiosity. And if we can live up to these external standards and look religious and act religious, then maybe we'll feel godly. The Apostle Paul says, look out for those types of people. Now, how can you tell the difference between religious busybodies and true believers? How can you tell the difference? Because I can tell you something, sometimes they look the same. Sometimes if you get one of these religious busybodies and you put them next to a true believer who's walking with the Lord, on the outside they look exactly the same. So what's the difference? Well, listen to them talk. Listen to them brag and boast. And what are they talking about? Paul warns about the ones that are all the time bragging about their accomplishments and their service and their churches and their sacrifices and their religion. But true believers, he says, brag only about one thing. True believers brag about Jesus. That's what he says. Look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Where does the believer's confidence come from? Where do we place our trust? In Christ alone. We just sang about it. Amen? All other ground is sinking sand. And this is some important stuff to remember on days like today. We can get carried away and we can forget where our focus belongs as believers. Our focus does not belong on ourselves and our possessions and our achievements and our blessings and the station in life and how far we've come, but our focus belongs on Jesus because He is the one that we serve and He is the one that we can brag about in this life. Now, Paul has plenty that he can brag about. The guy has a pretty impressive resume. In fact, he's traveled from city to city throughout the Roman Empire, and they've opened up the synagogues to him and said, come on, we have a guest speaker with us. Paul, the great rabbi, who was trained in all of the greatest schools, is going to come and stand and speak to us today. And so Paul had opportunities everywhere he went because of that resume, because of his past. He could walk right into the synagogue. He could take the place of the rabbi. And he lists his pedigree in this passage of Scripture. But he doesn't do it in order to brag. In fact, it's for the complete opposite reason. Look at verse 4. He says, I myself have reasons for such confidence. See, Paul is saying, I could be like those religious busybodies because I have the same things that I can brag about. In fact, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. And then he goes through his resume. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. So he talks about all of these things. If he wants to pull rank, Paul can do it. He has plenty of laurels to rest on. Plenty of things to be proud of. He was trained by Gamaliel, who was like the Harvard Law School of his day. He had done his time serving the Jewish people by weeding out all of those imposter Christians who were cropping up here and there. He was a purebred Jew. He had a Bible full of church bulletins from every Sunday of the year. He never missed a service. He read his Bible every morning. He had the underlinings and the check marks to prove it. He served on every committee that was available. He stayed up late to stay late in the building to help clean up. He had certificates of baptism, certificates of membership, certificates of ordination, and whatever else people give certificates for. And if anybody had a reason to boast, it was Paul. He had done it all. As far as the Jewish religion was concerned, he was at the top of the heap. But look what Paul says about all of these things in verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So rather than seeing all of these accomplishments and achievements as gain, he says these things are now lost to me. Rather than seeing these things as earned rights and privileges where he could walk in and show his gold card and get to the front of the line, he says, in comparison to knowing who Jesus Christ is and being a child of his and walking with him and growing in him, these things don't matter to me at all anymore. In fact, he sees them not as advantages, but as disadvantages. Verse 8, He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. He says, look, my righteousness, the thing that I will brag about, is not something I have accomplished, but something that Christ has accomplished for me. Something that I have been given as a gift by simply believing in Him. Boy, I pray that's true of you this morning. That you recognize that anything that is redeemable in your life, that any level of righteousness that you have achieved in your life is not something that you have earned, but something that Christ has earned and you have because you have put your faith in Him. Well, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about confessing our sins and repenting and turning humbly to Christ and saying, I bring nothing of my own, emptying ourselves, and then putting our faith completely in Him and receiving the gift of righteousness and forgiveness from Him. And so we walk the face of this earth and we call ourselves children of God. We call ourselves the righteousness of God, not because of who we are or what we've accomplished, but because of what Christ has done. And so Paul understands this. All of his great accomplishments, all of his life's work, his record, his resume, his decrees, his trophies, his blue ribbons, all of it, they are worthless to him in comparison to this: knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So the baseline number one thing of value is knowing Jesus. All that other stuff is pure trash in comparison. Like the difference between aluminum foil and silver. One is discarded, the other is invested. And Paul says, I have sacrificed all of those things. I have discarded them. I have backed the truck up to the dumpster. And I have flushed them down the toilet. They are all absolutely meaningless to me. The only thing that matters now is that I know Jesus, that I gain Christ. And all these great accomplishments that Paul has earned, he has the right to press to his advantage. Paul says they're all trash. And to be honest with you, that's a polite way of putting it, because the word in the original language is scubala, which can also be translated as dung. In fact, look at the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage. He says, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. So I think you understand his comparison that he's making. Isaac Watts put it in a hymn that we like to sing from time to time. He says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Skipping down to Philippians chapter 3, now verse 9. It says, I want to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. It's not through my law keeping, but by knowing Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So what matters is this, not you and your religiosity, not your ability to keep a list of rules, not your good reputation and your sense of self-importance in this life. No, what matters most is this. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Are you serving Him day by day with your life? Are you experiencing what it means to be crucified to yourself and risen again in Him? Are you living the abundant life that He promised you? It's not about you, it's about Him. It's all about Him. Verse 12, Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. I'm sure that was kind of discouraging for some of the people at the church at Philippi as they read that. Right? They wanted a hero. They wanted Paul to be the guy that is at the head of the line. They wanted to find somebody in this world that's doing it right. But Paul says, no, I'm not there. Not there yet. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God had called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul recognizes that he's a work in progress, but his goal is to live for Jesus, to be the person that Jesus came to save, to live the life that Jesus promised to those who believe in Him, and then to lead others in that same life. The ultimate goal, the focus, is Jesus Christ. So really, there it is, that passage of Scripture. That is the New Year's focus. This is a passage of Scripture for days like this because it reminds us of why we are alive. It reminds us of what God saw in us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. It centers us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get lost in the details of the day and the twistedness of my own priorities and my own desires, the things that I want for myself. And I lose sight of what matters most. Sometimes I get to looking around me at what other people are up to and what their priorities are and the things that they have accomplished. And I lose sight of what matters the most. So I'm thankful for passages of Scripture like this one that draw me back into focus. So let's attempt to apply this passage today. At the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018, let's set our hearts straight. Let's hit the reset button. Get down to square one once again. First things first. Number one, forget your failures. Forget your failures. I have many regrets as I look at this past year. Some things that I hoped to accomplish, they're still not accomplished. Some things that I've done along the way that I regret, mistakes, errors in judgment, some things just plain old stupidity. So who's here with me this morning in that same boat? Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad there's some honesty here in the room today. In many ways, I've proved that I am not where I should be yet, that I have a long, long way to go. And sometimes I'm shocked by how little I've grown. But hanging on to those things, hanging on to those failures, hanging on to those mistakes will not get you very far. It's time to let go of them. It's time to move on. In verse 13, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That's the way we make progress. Forgetting the failures of the past, the hurts of the past, the brokenness of life, and pushing on toward what lies ahead, the future that God has called us to. Jesus put it this way. He said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You're going to put your hand to the plow. Keep moving ahead. Keep going toward the future that God has planned for you. Push ahead toward the goals and the things that God would have you to do and the person that God would have you to be. Place your mind on Him and forget those things. It's kind of like trying to drive down the interstate highway while looking in the rearview mirror. Have you ever tried that? It's probably not a good idea, right? Objects appear closer than they really are, according to the mirror. But also, you're just going to go right off the road because you can't drive straight down the road while looking at the car behind you, while looking at the places where you've been. You're going to get lost. You're going to go off the road. There's going to be a curve in the road ahead, and you're going to miss it because you're looking at the straight road behind you. It doesn't work that way. You can't move forward in this life if you're carrying a load of regrets from the past. So it's time to drop it off somewhere. So what regrets are you carrying? What sins are weighing you down? What hurts and brokenness from the past are you still nursing? And are you still feeling sorry for yourself? Are you still beating yourself up? If you really want to turn the page and move ahead, you're going to have to leave some things behind. Just going to have to put them in a closet, slam the door, maybe pour a little gasoline under the door and light it, okay? Not literally. Please don't do that literally. The psalmist leads us in a prayer, Psalm 51. He writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." There are some wonderful words in this prayer. Renew, restore, sustain. Lord, come in and change me from the inside out. Help me, Lord, to be a new person. Take away the old and help me, Lord, to walk into the new. So I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 51 at some time and sit down with that and pray it as if you had written it, as if it was your prayer that you were giving to the Lord. Just pray those words to the Lord. Turn off the TV for a little while. Take your cell phone, turn it off. There is a button that you can push it, and it turns it completely off. No notifications, no calls, nothing, right? It'll just brick the thing. Some of you, you know, your cell phones has been that way for a while now and you haven't fixed it, and good for you. But some of you need to learn how to turn that thing off. Just set it aside for a little while. I'm speaking to myself here. Turn the TV off. All the distractions. You know, tell Alexa to take a break. Whatever else it is, all your Christmas presents. Just get alone with the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 51. Get on your knees and pray that prayer. And say, "Lord, renew me. Restore me. Help me, Lord, to drop all that trash off and start fresh and new in you." So maybe the place to start the new year is on your knees, confessing your sin, repenting, allowing the blood of Jesus to wash you as white as snow, to allow His love to come over you and to receive the gift of forgiveness. All the mistakes and the foolishness and the stupidity, everything that you've done, all the hurts of the past, just leave them behind. Refuse to take them into 2018 with you. Take off those dirty shoes. Allow Jesus to wash your feet and then walk through the door into a new year. Start all over again. You can do it because God says you can through His Son Jesus. But as we saw with Paul, it's not just the mistakes and the sins and the hurts that need to be left behind as we reach for the goal. You also need to abandon your achievements. And maybe this is harder than the first part. At some of it's easy for us to forget our failures. We just ignore that stuff and throw it in the past. But what about your achievements? What about the things that you are proud of? Now, I'm not saying that you should go home and throw away all your diplomas and delete your resume from your computer and quit your job and assume a new identity and start all over again somewhere. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that you need to learn not to find your soul identity in those things. That those things in your accomplishments and in your work, it doesn't need to be who you are. That you, number one, like the Apostle Paul, we should learn to find our identity in Christ, in knowing Him, and to put our trust in Him and not in those things. So what is the first thing you brag about when you meet people? You know, maybe you don't call it bragging, right? Maybe it's what they call a humble brag. You know what I'm talking about? It's where you just kind of talk about it on the down low, but you're kind of bragging, and you know you are on the inside. What are the things that you like to talk about that bring you pride and joy? I can tell you, for me, it's my children. You know, I'm so proud of my daughters and what they've accomplished in this life and in the short time they've been in this world. And I'm proud to watch my little boy grow up, and I dream about what the future might hold for him. I also brag about this church, by the way. Sometimes when I get together with pastors, we begin to talk about our churches. And Quaker Gap, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of who you are. I'm proud of how you're growing. I'm thrilled to be your pastor. I brag about the things that we do as a church, the opportunities that we have to serve the Lord, individuals within the church who are doing wonderful things. I love to talk about you guys. And I don't understand when pastors talk about, say negative things about their church families. I just have never been there. I don't have a reason to do that. Don't give me a reason to do that, but I haven't had a reason to do that. So, what do you brag about? Your grandchildren? You got those pictures on your phone? Your job? Something you own? A car? A house? You know, that's the thing that you're most proud of? What is it that brings you pride? What is it that pops your buttons when you think about it? It really gets you excited and fired up. Now, let me ask you a serious question. If the Lord were to take those things from you, could you still go on? If your job was gone in the next month, would you be able to make it? If tragedy struck and the things or the people that you love were suddenly taken from you, would you be able to survive? Could you get through that? Now, if your life is centered in the things that make you proud, guaranteed, the future is going to break your heart. No doubt about it. If your life is centered in the things that make you proud, in your accomplishments and achievements, if that's where your life is centered, then your heart's going to be broken because those things just don't last. But if your life is centered in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with Him and serving Him, and making a huge deal of Him, the loss of those things will be painful, but you'll go on. See, your mindset really matters. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the greatest privilege in all the world, the greatest purpose in this life, is to know Jesus Christ and to live for Him. It's interesting, if you read through the book of Acts, Paul was headed to Rome on a ship. It was a ship that was delivering goods, but he was able to get a ride on that ship to head to Rome. And as they got closer and closer to the place of their destination, they realized that there was a huge storm out in the sea. And they became shipwrecked. The sea began to get shallower and shallower, and the rocks got closer and closer, and they knew that things were going to break apart. And so what did they do? Passage tells us that they threw all of the grain overboard. So understand something for a moment. You may think, well, big deal, they threw some grain overboard. Well, that was the reason for that journey. That was the reason there was a ship. That was the reason why somebody had invested in building this ship so that it could go from Greece to Rome delivering grain and make money and a livelihood. And these men who were on this ship, the very last step that they took was to take their very livelihood and to throw it overboard into the sea. Now, why were they willing to take that loss? They understood something, that as valuable as that grain was, their lives and the lives of the men on board were much more valuable, much more valuable. And they were willing to take a loss in order to save their lives. Oh, that we could have that same perspective in life every day, to be willing to throw overboard anything that hinders us from becoming the people that Jesus saved us to be. Oh, that we could just throw anything overboard, because it doesn't matter to us, because our number one priority is Him. So as we go from one year to another, let's recenter our focus. Forget your failures, abandon your achievements. And number three is chase after Christ. Paul puts it this way: I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And The Message version says, "But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me." It's good to be reminded of what truly matters, especially on days like this. And here it is, the good news, the good news. You are a sinner who has wandered far away from God. Apart from Him, there is no hope for your life, no true meaning or purpose or value for today, and there is no hope for eternity. But God loves you. He loves you. And He sent His only Son, Jesus, into this world to pursue you, to go to the cross in your place and to sacrifice His life for you, to rise again from the dead, to give you hope for all eternity, all because of His great love for you. And all you need to do, according to Scripture now, this isn't according to Jack, this is according to the Word, all you need to do is admit that you are a sinner, confess your sin to Him, and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, because He is the one who paid the price for your sin on the cross. Just put your faith in Him, the one who died for you. And when you confess your sin and repent and believe, He will forgive you of your sin, and you will become a child of God. And right now, if you've put your faith in Him, He's preparing a place for you in heaven, and you will spend eternity with Him and His people in joy that's unexplainable, in peace and worship that we don't even understand here in this world. But now, right now, in this small window of time where we live and call today, this last day of the year of 2017, He is calling you to live your life for Him. For Him. And it's easy to be distracted by the hurts of this world. It's easy to be dragged down by your own mistakes and your own stupidity. And it's easy to lose track of why He saved you and what your purpose is in Him. And it's easy to hunt after things that seem important in the moment, but the things this world brags about. But it's crucial that we not lose our focus, that we are centered in Jesus Christ, as individual persons and as a church. So as we begin 2018, I pray that we may be able to lay aside the things that hinder us in order that we can chase after Christ. I pray that we will know Him more, to love Him more, to worship Him more and in even more meaningful ways in the year to come, to walk with Him more closely, to serve Him. And may we become more like Jesus in immeasurable ways in our lives. May people at this time next year look at us and say, "Wow, what a change has come over you. I can see the Lord in you." I pray that our lives will reflect His life, that our character will mirror His character, that others will see Him living within us. And I pray that we might not lose this focus, but that with each new day, we might dedicate ourselves anew to live for Jesus, no matter what this year might bring. Boy, there's a lot of stuff this last year brought that you didn't expect. There were some things that took place in 2017 you didn't know were coming. Now, some of those things are horrible. Some of those things are awesome. But you can't predict. If you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter which one of those things you receive in 2018. You'll be ready. You'll be ready. Come what may, no matter what this year might bring, I pray that we will take hold of the one who took hold of us, to love the one who loves us, to set aside the worthless things of this life that don't matter much, and to pursue the riches of His calling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You, O Lord, for the example of the Apostle Paul, for all of the wisdom that he gained throughout a lifetime of walking with You. Father, for his understanding that he came to in his life, that all of the things that matter most to the people of this world don't matter at all in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today. I ask, Lord, that in the quiet moments that lead into this new year, that you might give us the opportunity to meditate on our lives. And Father, that we might have the courage to set aside the things that hinder us, whether they be the hurts of this past year, whether they be the achievements of this past year. Heavenly Father, I pray that we just be able to start with our hearts and our minds focused on you. And Lord, that headed into this new year, it might be our desire to walk with you in new ways, Lord, to know you in deeper ways. Father, to experience what it truly means to be crucified with you and resurrected again. Help us, Lord, as we pursue your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.